unity and support for this settler terror that has been responsible and that we see as responsible for the killing of dear Ode Hadalin, who was really a friend to us all. Anyone who was active in the Masafariyata area knew Ode, stayed with him, spent time with him and listened to him. He was an inspiring and amazing activist.
We're going to have to leave it there. I thank you for being with us with the Israeli Human Rights Group at Salem.
When they separated families, we took them to court and won. When they limited access to essential health care, we fought the bans and won. And now they're determined to reverse more of our hard-won rights and freedoms. But if they try to take away our rights, they've got to get past us. We are the American Civil Liberties Union, and we will fight any attempts to roll back our rights in the courts, in state legislatures, and in the streets.
When you're surrounded by oppressive laws, you can't just sit back and be oppressed. You get up and fight. And all of us at the ACLU are fighting for you.
Right now, the ACLU's work is more important than ever. The ACLU is fighting in the courts and advocating in all 50 states to ensure that all of us can exercise our rights. To learn more about ACLU's work defending our civil liberties, go to myaclu.org.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM and 107.3 FM, as well as over the internet at WUSB.FM. It's 6 o'clock on a Tuesday, and that means it's time for Off the Wall.
Alexa, put on 90.1.
Got it. Now playing radio station 90.1 FM.
What the...
Mom, something's wrong with my favorite show. It's just, like, static.
Your favorite show?
Where all the liberals bitch and whine about stuff? Something's wrong with it.
Oh, sweetie, the president canceled it.
What do you mean the president canceled?
I don't know what to tell you, hon.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
the very good evening. No, we're not canceled. We're not canceled. I don't know where these things get started. We had a channel open, and erroneous information got out. We're fine. Everything's fine. It's another edition of Off the Wall. Emmanuel over here and Kyle over there.
Yo.
I don't know if we're liberals that bitch and moan about everything or whatever it was he said, but... you know what? Okay, fine. I'll wear that.
Does it matter?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We never get what we want anyway, so, you know.
We'll reject labels.
Exactly. Except for the label that it's damn hot today. Today is a scorcher. Tomorrow will be another scorcher, and then Thursday things start to get civilized again.
You take your label and you... Oh, wait. What are we talking about? Oh, yeah, tomorrow? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to get nice. It's going to get nice.
You say that like it's a threat.
And calm and relaxing.
Did Eric Cartman just promote our show?
Big fan.
Well, I knew that, but I didn't know that. Okay. I'm just hang on a second, Kyle, because I want to see if he's still there. Just bring up that channel again.
I mean, who the hell does this president think he is? The government can't cancel the show. I mean, what show are they going to cancel next? I don't know about you, but I'm worried about what this country's coming to. It seems like everybody's changing, and suddenly woke stuff is off limits. I mean, it's like now everyone rips on the Jews, and it's totally fine, huh, Kyle?
Kyle, you don't have to answer that. He called you out directly. Oh, boy.
Might have a point. But...
He might have a point, but yeah, I guess, you know.
Can you just maybe put that on hold?
I'm trying.
We'll check with that later.
I'm trying.
See? What's wrong with Kyle? Everybody's given up.
Let me just turn that off totally, and yeah, that won't bother us anymore. I don't know. That channel should never be up. This is why that channel should never be up. Welcome, folks, to a bunch of bitching and moaning for the next hour of various things that are going on. It's so hot in here. We have no ventilation in this room. But, you know, that means nothing to people listening. Just know that if we sound more and more out of it, it's because of the lack of oxygen.
Beleaguered?
It's, you know, temperature approaching 40 degrees, and that's Celsius. Look it up to see how uncomfortable we are. All right, trade deal. Did the U.S. or the EU emerge as the winner in the Trump trade deal with the EU? We'll take answers for the next 30 seconds.
I'm just going to keep saying it doesn't matter. What does that even mean? I don't understand. You just said words. There were letters. I don't even know what is anything.
I couldn't care
compared
less.
To what?
If I make it through the hour, it'll be a miracle.
A trade deal, like as in... Yeah, what is it? 15? Well, it was 10% or 15% versus the 30%.
Okay.
I don't even know those numbers. On what? On like cheese or I don't know. Like everything? Like gravel? We get Italian gravel or something for cheap? Who knows? I'm sure it's wonderful.
It is good gravel.
He shook Ursula's hand. That's what I saw. And he's been having trouble shaking hands. It's like his hand's going to fall off.
You know,
he's like a leper.
I don't even want to approach that subject. But here's, okay, yeah, he threatened a 30% tariff against Europe, EU. And so their thinking was that if they settle for 15, that's better than 30. And also to counter the tariffs that we're imposing on them, they intend to impose tariffs on us at, what's that number? Ah, yes, zero. Yeah, I see what they're doing here. They're being grown up and reasonable, and I hate it because it emboldens Trump. You know, when you have a bully and you do everything he says, does the bully go away? No, he comes back. He wants more. If you punch the bully right in the stomach and make him double over in pain in the hallway by the gym, and you finally have a moment where you have a little bit of self-respect for at least a day in school, theoretically, he's not liable to bother you anymore. You know? At least try it, for God's sake. Why is everybody giving him what he wants? Everybody. Universities. Countries, people, mega corporations. I mean, are we really such cowards that we can't stand up to a bully? I mean, yeah, I know bullies are hard to stand up to, but know this, unlike me in school, you have the support of everybody else who's also too cowardly to do anything. But
It shows how short-term planning is ruling the day. Mm-hmm. Like, these are like quarterly bottom lines that they're protecting, and I guess over time is the safest bet, economically speaking.
Oh, I don't know about
but
that.
It really, I mean, taxing, what happened to like taxing our whiskey and Harley's? Like, was that just Canada that decided they weren't gonna allow us to sell goods for the best prices? Like, it just seems like they're taking him as seriously as though he's like, he is permanent in some like grand sense. They're like confronted with something that's so different, and the whiplash of it has them feeling like if we don't do anything, it's the end of the world. Like, no, that's not actually how it goes. And this guy is like kind of throwing his weight around, and for you to just capitulate, just to like roll over at the slightest change for something that long term isn't in your national interest is really funny. Like, well, it's backwards. They don't need to. They could afford to not do that.
You know, that's open to debate whether they can afford to not do that right away. I do think they're playing the long game, and they're saying we humor this guy for now and avoid massive chaos, which would ensue if they stood up to him or fought back. I get that. It's a bad look. But I don't want to give the wrong impression. This is a bad deal for Europe, absolutely. But it's not a good deal for us. And by us, I mean people, individuals like you and me. It's a good deal for Trump. If all you care about is his bottom line, sure, he's doing fine. He's going to get people thinking that he won. He's going to somehow line his pockets. And he'll walk away looking like the victor here. But let me tell you what's going to happen to us. We are going to be paying the 15% on anything foreign that we buy. Now, how can I translate? Let's say you buy a new car. What do new cars go for these days, Kyle? Like $1,000 or $1,500? I haven't bought a car in a while. What's the average price of a new car? Like, you know, a Volkswagen or a what's another brand of car?
I don't know. They're trying to get like really economical electric vehicles. So let's say like you've got this whiz bang technology. You got one for like $14,000. Yeah, $14,000.
You can get an electric vehicle.
Super cheap. Super. You know, so that you don't have to like let in BYD or any of the other more competitive electric cars. Yeah. Let's call it $15,000.
You can find a brand new foreign electric car $15,000.
I'm saying there's a fictional vehicle that maybe even is made in North America or something, and it through some fluke.
No, we're talking about a foreign car. It's got to be a foreign car. That's the whole point.
Okay, yeah. Well, then, yeah, apply that to something that's already been banned, like any Chinese electric vehicle or, I don't know,
by the way,
European, like, entry level.
I've penciled in a meeting with you at 7:20 to discuss the electric car for $14,000 that you have eyes on. I'd like to know more about that. But okay, let's say, I don't know, 20, 30. What do you think is what people pay these days for cars?
You're talking, 20, I mean,
well, you're talking, I don't want this to last so long.
There's so many levels. Yeah,
you're talking about extra 15% is going to be like $5,000. That's what you're going to be paying in addition for an average price new car. So are you good with that? Are you good paying an extra $5,000 just to buy a car from overseas? Or are you good with just buying an American car? I assume people prefer foreign cars for a reason, not just because they can say, hey, look, I've got a foreign car, because there are features and there are things that are just done better with certain models than other models. And American cars have had a history of not being as great as others. So, okay, you're going to be paying more for that. You're going to be paying more for, you know, imported cheese or anything that comes from Europe. You will be paying 15% because the companies over there, they're not going to be paying that. They're going to pass that along to the consumer. Now, what does that mean? It's bad for them because we will be buying less from them because it's more expensive. So their economy will suffer, but our pocketbooks will suffer. So everybody is going to suffer. It's not good for anybody. It's not necessary. The whole thing is stupid and a waste of time. And I just can't believe it's gone this far. And
this is to smooth the road in the short term and not have a huge dichotomy, a huge like separation between what has been economically and what is being threatened in if you don't comply with his demands. Mm-hmm. So they calculate coming to some agreement in the short term will at least keep things appearing normal, even though they are very much not.
Yeah, I'm not sure what kind of drug you have to be on to think that things are in any way normal.
No, from a economic, like, retail point of view.
Yeah, not too much of a catastrophe.
All right, but I don't need to be involved in this.
Nobody does, but unfortunately we're all being pulled into it, and we're going to feel the effects. Now, the French are kind of upset at this, and rightfully so. They denounced the trade agreement as a submission yesterday, though other EU states largely backed the deal that they acknowledged was lopsided, but, as Kyle said, averts an economically damaging trade war. The framework deal announced on Sunday between two economies accounting for almost a third of global trade will see the U.S. impose a 15% import tariff on most EU goods from next month. That is where we stand. Now, the thing is, the way the EU works, all the countries have to vote on this. So if the French are really that pissed off, they can vote against it and keep it from happening. So I kind of hope they do that. I kind of hope they throw us into turmoil and chaos, because somebody has to. And the French also turned some heads by saying they're going to be recognizing the state of Palestine. They will officially recognize the state of Palestine, true to its historic commitment to a just and lasting peace in the Middle East. That's according to French President Emmanuel Macron on Thursday. I will make the solemn announcement at the United Nations General Assembly in September. I don't know why it has to be a solemn announcement. I mean, sure, everything that's going on there right now is worthy of a solemn announcement, but recognizing the country, I think, is a good thing, a positive step, and I think everybody needs to do that. He goes on to say there must be an immediate ceasefire, the release of all hostages, and massive humanitarian aid to the people of Gaza. It is also necessary to ensure the demilitarization of Hamas, secure and rebuild Gaza. Finally, it is essential to build the state of Palestine, ensure its viability, and enable it by accepting its demilitarization and fully recognizing Israel to contribute to the security of all in the Middle East. I think that that is about as rational as you can get. Of course, you have to counter rationality with irrationality these days. So here we have Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu saying, such a move towards terror such a move rewards terror and risks creating another Iranian proxy, just as Gaza became. A Palestinian state in these conditions would be a launch pad to annihilate Israel, not to live in peace beside it. Got to agree with the guy, because I don't think he has any intention of living in peace next to his neighbors. He's going to be annihilating the Palestinian land. And of course, eventually, somebody is going to say, enough of this already. We have to defend ourselves. We have to stop this. And as long as Netanyahu is in power, I don't see how any of this can work. He has to go. And that's up to the people of Israel, who have been remarkably silent on this.
But couldn't God do something?
God has been woefully silent as well.
I'm just...
Call upon God to get off his throne and God, speak.
Yeah, like, if God was just like, yo, this isn't cool, and then like did something, then what?
Well, they'd say, okay, that's AI. It wasn't really God. It's not our God. It's your God. There'd be all kinds of back and
God's
forth.
God's anti-Semitic.
You know, don't laugh.
That's what you're going to say?
They're accusing everybody of being anti-Semitic. Okay, you know, it's in one of these stories.
I'm listening.
Where, I don't know if it was Netanyahu or... Basically, the accusation, simply the accusation that you're committing genocide is anti-Semitic. So
that's exactly the kind of thing someone committing genocide would say.
Well, yeah, of course. But, you know, think about it. So what you're saying is that if you're Israeli, you get to commit genocide and nobody can accuse you of committing genocide unless they want to be accused of being anti-Semitic. It's a free pass. You can just do as you please. And that's okay. I mean, what kind of sick thinking is that? But that's literally what people are saying, that the mere accusation. And you have the evidence. I mean, first of all, Israel will not allow journalists of any sort into Gaza. Yeah, they don't want neutral pictures of anything. They just want to filter all of the footage of whatever is happening there. They will not allow independent journalists into that zone. And if there are journalists in that zone, they stand a very good chance of being killed by incoming missiles. It happens all the time. They kicked Al Jazeera out of Israel, and it's a farce, and I can't believe it's gone on this long without the rest of the world speaking up. Now, today, Prime Minister Keir Starmer of the UK announced that Britain would recognize the state of Palestine in September. I don't know why September is when everybody does this. And that happens if Israel does not agree to a ceasefire with Hamas. So that puts more pressure on the Israeli government to halt a war that has put Gaza on the brink of famine. Now, I don't know if you've been looking at the news over the last few days. Netanyahu on the previous program was saying there is no famine in Gaza. Just saying that alone should point out to the entire world what a liar and what a horrible person he is, because you see the children, skin and bones. You see the reports from multiple agencies that have nothing to do with Hamas saying people are starving. It is a fact. It is an indisputable fact. And to say it's not happening, my God, how do you live with yourself? But you know what? Obviously, he can live with himself. I don't care. This has to stop. And okay, finally, you know, the French and the British are doing something. I wish we would do something. I wish more people would do something. It's like we're living through the horrors of World War II again, you know, and we're powerless to speak up or do anything, lest we be accused of backing evil people. Well, these are not evil people. These are innocent people. And I'm just so fed up seeing this week after week. Over 60,000 civilians killed now. I mean, that's insane. That is so completely crazy.
I thought you were talking about Ukraine for a second, but
no. But you could compare the two.
No, it's cool. I realize there's so much evil in the world. Like it's a super not chill world.
Everything Russia has done to Ukraine, Israel has done, and probably done worse. And it's okay to condemn Russia. It's okay to boycott them and do all kinds of sanctions against them. But if you dare do that with Israel, all of a sudden you're the problem. That's got to stop. You know, we have to have equal rules for everybody. Everybody has to follow the same civilized rules or it doesn't work.
Some people are really fond of World War II for some reason.
Well, I don't know. Some people seem fond of just misery.
Yeah. They feel sort of withdrawal, so they have to like do reenactments and stuff.
So anyway, Starmer reiterated Hamas must release its remaining hostages, sign up to a ceasefire, and accept that it will have no role in governing Gaza. And everybody seems to be saying that. Everybody who wants this to stop seems to be saying that. And that seems completely rational and agreeable. Israel is the only roadblock here. They keep claiming that Hamas is standing in the way, but they don't present the evidence of what it is actually they're doing. Remember, there was a ceasefire. Israel broke the ceasefire, I think it was back in March, because they said Hamas wasn't cooperating. Again, no evidence. And now they won't agree to a ceasefire because they say they can't deal with Hamas. Look, we call this a war. Now, if you look at traditional wars, Korea, Vietnam, World War II, it's back and forth. You know, you bomb one city, another city gets bombed. I don't see Hamas bombing Israel. I don't see 60 Israelis killed every day while they're standing waiting for food. That would be a war. That would be a back and forth. This is just a military campaign against civilians who have nothing, and now they have less than nothing.
Yeah, even when they were attacking back in the day, I think that a lot of it was like home-built rockets that were like completely, it was just like artillery. And then came like all the proxy fighting. And if I recall, like just this last year, Israel's like bombing what? Syria and like everybody in the neighborhood.
Oh, you can't keep track. Like, Iran, Syria, Lebanon.
I thought, what even is a Hamas anymore? I don't even know what that is. Like, Where are who? Yemen, how do you get a hold of them?
Yemen and that's so many.
Yeah, I think that was, didn't that all get solved when they attacked all those places? I thought that was the point, is that there's no more Hamas. It sounds like there's more Hamas, and which one of those strikes to another jurisdiction entirely was ineffective? You know, where's the responsibility?
Listen,
because who's left? Who else do you have to bomb? Where? Where? Oh, are you going to go for Egypt or what?
They could.
Cairo?
They could.
Are we doing this?
Look, everything you think that they'll never do, they'll do. Starmer, in addition to a ceasefire, said the Israeli government must agree not to annex the occupied West Bank, every one of which the settlers there illegally occupying by international law, which, yes, it does mean something. They must commit to a peace process that would result in a Palestinian state alongside Israel. These are things that were agreed to decades ago. And they are demands Israel is highly unlikely to accept under Netanyahu's ultra-right-wing government. He recently said that a Palestinian state could be a launch pad to annihilate Israel. You know what a launch pad for annihilating Israel is? You. You know, you are turning the entire world against Israel. You are doing horrible things and committing war crimes. You belong in The Hague and not as a tourist. All right. It has to stop. And we have to stop him. And, you know, much applause to UK and France for doing this. It's not enough, though. We need more. And we need to speak up. And we need to stop this guy. And yeah, we need to stop Hamas, too. They're awful people. We know that. But you don't leave people with much choice when you don't give them anything. So
there has to be a lot more internal pressure in Israel, in fairness. And I know there is a lot of dissent as much as we speak about the state of Israel acting as a sort of a reckless agent here. There are a lot of people that are not for this, and I think that pressure in conjunction with some of the external pressure really needs to dispel the narrative of, you know, this is our one Western friend in a bad neighborhood, and all of these sort of like hyperbolic exaggerations of yesteryear. They make no sense now. And if anything, like, I don't know, as far as neighborhoods go, like, that seems like a pretty, like, nasty neighbor, and probably the biggest danger in the neighborhood at this moment. I think that we got to recalibrate just a little bit about our attitudes and what was versus what is. And I just can't hear more about how the neighborhood is rough. I think this particular country is making for a rough neighborhood on their own.
Well, you know, we mentioned dissent. I don't want to give the impression that there isn't dissent. There is. And there's some pretty significant dissent, too. In fact, on Monday, yesterday, two prominent Israeli rights groups said their country is committing genocide in Gaza. And that's the first time local Jewish-led organizations have made such accusations against Israel during roughly 22 months of war.
I saw that.
The claims by Selim, I don't know how to pronounce B apostrophe T. I'm sorry. I'll try to learn that, but I'm going to say Selim for now. Actually, it's B apostrophe T S. That makes it even harder. Physicians for Human Rights Israel as well. They added to an explosive debate over whether Israel's military offensive in Gaza, which, of course, was launched in response to Hamas's deadly October 7th, 2023 attack, amounts to genocide. And I know we can go on and say what October 7th was in response to, but October 7th was a horrible stain on the history of humanity, and there's no other way to see that. I'm sorry. The Palestinians, their supporters and international human rights groups, have made the claim of real starvation and genocide. The International Court of Justice is hearing a genocide case filed by South Africa against Israel. But in Israel, founded in the wake of the Holocaust, even the government's strongest critics have largely refrained from making such accusations. And that's a big mistake, because you need to speak up. You need to get in people's faces and show them what it is they're doing. Now, yes, the Nazi genocide of Europe's Jews is forefront in people's minds. And because many in Israel view the war in Gaza as a justified response to the deadliest attack in the country's history, and not an attempt at extermination, these accusations don't always land. If you don't look at things through the filters of government, though, and see what's actually going on, and look at those pictures for yourself, and study the history just a little bit, you might reach a different conclusion. It's disturbing to see blindness as far as dealing with these difficult situations. They say perhaps human rights groups based in Israel coming to this conclusion is a way to confront that accusation and get people to acknowledge the reality. Israel asserts it is fighting an existential war and abides by international law, even though it rejects almost every international agency or governing body as anti-Israel. It has rejected genocide allegations as anti-Semitic, which is an absurd thing to do. It is challenging these accusations at the International Court of Justice. It's rejected the International Criminal Court's allegations that Netanyahu and former Defense Minister Yoav Gallant committed war crimes in Gaza. Both face international arrest warrants. And every time, you know, one of them shows their face here in the United States and is not grabbed, it's a defeat for democracy. It really is. It's our duty as international citizens to put war criminals away. And these guys are almost at the top of the list. Now, Israel's government yesterday didn't immediately comment on the reports by these two groups. Israeli officials largely blame civilian deaths in Gaza on Hamas. Yeah, saying it uses civilians as shields by embedding militants in residential areas. Think about the callousness of that statement. That we're going to destroy a hospital because there's a guy that belongs to Hamas somewhere near it. Or, you know, same thing for a school or just a neighborhood in general. They did it to themselves. It's not even worthy of a retort because it's so obvious inhuman behavior there to kill dozens, hundreds of people because an enemy might be nearby. Israel's claim that Hamas fighters or members of other armed Palestinian groups were present in medical or civilian facilities, often made without providing any evidence, cannot justify or explain such widespread systematic destruction. That's a step to have two groups show up like that, but not as big a step as what I just read before the show. The first Republican lawmaker in the United States to call the Gaza crisis a genocide has come forward. And that person is named Marjorie Taylor Greene. Okay, I don't know what world I'm in anymore, but does Marjorie Taylor Greene have more courage than even, you know, liberal Democrats as far as this issue goes? Apparently so, because I remember, you know, even in this country, only a couple of months ago, calling it genocide was controversial. And now you have the most conservative of conservatives calling what is happening in Gaza rightfully a genocide. It's kind of hard to process that. She said it's the most truthful and easiest thing to say that October 7th in Israel was horrific and all hostages must be returned. But so is the genocide, humanitarian crisis, and starvation happening in Gaza. Yeah, you know what? I don't want to read it anymore because she's going to say something that's going to upset me. That sentence, Marjorie Taylor Greene, I am in full agreement with. And, you know, I would stand side by side with you to help stop this if we didn't speak at all and say something that one of us might regret or the other would probably regret. But this just goes to show that it doesn't have to be a political issue. It's a human issue and anyone can see it. So that gives me a bit of hope.
It's pretty gutsy. I mean, it shouldn't be gutsy, but well,
who's going to attack her? I wonder.
I know, right? It's like a non sequitur out of her. I guess she is onto something.
If
I don't know,
you had offered me, you know, to make a bet on who was going to say that, I would have lost everything because I never would have bet on her.
Boebert is Colorado. So what? Green's at Georgia. Okay, you know what? Georgia's cool.
Oh, Georgia's always been cool. It's not Georgia's not the problem.
There. Yeah. Great people in Georgia. Yeah. And she must be listening to her constituents.
But I want to move on from this topic, and we have the luxury of being able to move on. If you're over there, you certainly don't have that luxury. It's every day, every night. But you know, we always hear that the reason Israel can't allow aid to get to all these poor starving people is because Hamas will steal it and basically put it on the black market and, you know, do all kinds. They'll gain power by having access to these resources. Well, this New York Times report last week, for nearly 2 years, Israel has accused Hamas of stealing aid provided by the United Nations and other international organizations. The government has used that claim as its main rationale for restricting food from entering Gaza. But the Israeli military never found proof that the Palestinian militant group had systematically stolen aid from the United Nations, the biggest supplier of emergency assistance to Gaza, for most of the war. That's according to two senior Israeli military officials and to other Israelis involved in the matter. In fact, the Israeli military official said, the UN aid delivery system, which Israel derided and undermined, was largely effective in providing food to Gaza's desperate and hungry population. They replaced that with a U.S.-backed system. And the descriptions I heard about that were chilling. Basically, it ensured that you had to come in contact with Israeli military in order to get any kind of aid. And often those encounters were met with barbaric outcomes, where innocent civilians were killed while waiting to get food or trying to get food or all sorts of things. Or they were put in impossible situations where they had to fight amongst themselves to get one bag of food that was just left out. It's ridiculous. The system that worked, they did everything to make it not last. That can be proven. Hamas routinely stealing food cannot be proven. Imagine that. The thing that we were told the whole time, the reason for not giving aid to these people, turned out to be untrue. All the things that we have been told that turn out to be lies.
Yeah, and then to hear Netanyahu's lie that there is no systematic mechanism for starvation in Gaza is such a joke. Like, he's doing comedy bits here because it's exactly the opposite. The fact that they can say they are not letting food in is how they set the conditions for the precise genocide we're witnessing. And how much murder, how much death is he going to paper over all of this with? His regime, the attack, you know, everybody not being for Israel. And what is Israel for that isn't about Israel? Like, I love the double standard that we've all to be for them, but what are they for other than the people who have spoken out against this? They seem pretty out for themselves in this moment, and he's papering over his legacy with murder.
Well, let's be fair here. He is not out for the Israeli people. He is out for himself.
Well, that's what I mean.
He is facing all kinds of corruption charges, and the longer this goes on, the more he can avoid that.
Not soon enough. Yeah. Again, like, how much murder is he going to paper? Is he going to be allowed to paper it over with?
He is a criminal, you know, just like Trump is a criminal, and I expect them to evade justice, you know, because that's what criminals do. What I don't expect are the people around them to help them as much as they are. And I certainly don't expect the people who aren't around them to back them up and just believe everything they say, you know, especially when believing them winds up hurting us in various manners.
Is it over yet? Just come on. How much do we have to be, like, correcting and talking about this? I'm like, exhausted just being exhausted about it. It's so stupid.
He is 102 degrees in this
room. It is very, yeah. It's anyway, I don't want to keep us on this evergreen subject.
Speaking of evil people, Lee Zeldin, remember Lee Zeldin? Used to be our representative here in Suffolk County.
Yeah, he's the one destroying the EPA.
Well, he's destroying the EPA, but he's going beyond that. He's the head of the EPA now because Trump. And so he's no longer our congressman, That's a good thing. But now he's head of the Environmental Protection Agency. And his goal, and it's pretty much been stated, is to destroy the Environmental Protection Agency and followed soon after by the environment itself. Today he proposed revoking a scientific finding. Lee, you're not a scientist. You barely got out of school, okay? I mean, you don't know the first thing about what you're talking about. How dare you revoke a scientific finding? You have no knowledge. You have absolutely no scientific background. I'm sorry, but this should be illegal. You know, scientists, they're not political. They base everything on science. You know, science isn't Republican. Science isn't Democrat. It's just reality. And reality says climate change is real. I'm sorry if that doesn't align with whatever it is that you believe in. But it's the truth. Just like the Earth is round, the sun. Okay, the sun doesn't actually rise in the east. It's the Earth turning that makes that happen. But I'm not going to waste my time trying to explain that to him. The point is, science is what you should look at as the neutral decider of what is real and what is not. Anyway, so he's trying to change science and basically revoke a finding that has long been the central basis for U.S. action to regulate greenhouse gas emissions and fight climate change. Apparently, we're not going to do that anymore. Not going to fight climate. Won't that be nice to come to peace with greenhouse gases? You know, maybe it could be a model for Israel. You know, they can come to peace with whoever's trying to destroy them.
Just wait till God finds out.
You keep calling on God. You know, he has 20 minutes to say something.
What? Everybody else gets to invoke God? I can't call on God.
I'm just saying. I'm very disappointed.
In God?
Yeah,
okay, wait till God finds out about that.
He's not going to. He's not listening. Or she. Let's not be sexist. The proposed Environmental Protection Agency rule would rescind a 2009 declaration that determined that carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases endanger public health and welfare. So we're going to say that greenhouse gases, carbon dioxide, are not bad for you. That's what Lee Zeldin is shooting for here. Is he going to say smoking is good for you next?
I was just going to say, this is just so that he doesn't have to brush his teeth anymore. He just, somebody commented about his breath.
The endangerment finding is the legal underpinning of a host of climate regulations under the Clean Air Act for motor vehicles, power plants, and other pollution sources that are heating the planet. Here's what he said. Let's give him a chance. There are people who, in the name of climate change, are willing to bankrupt the country. Yeah, he might be the head of the EPA, but he really just cares about making money. That's all it is with him. It's all about the economy. It's all about, you know, not spending on anything that you can get away with not spending. It's disgusting. They created this endangerment finding, and then they were able to put all these regulations on vehicles, on airplanes, on stationary sources to basically regulate out of existence, in many cases, a lot of segments of our economy. And it cost Americans a lot of money. Boo-hoo! You know, to keep a country going, you have to spend something. And this administration has basically just been not spending anything on education, on social programs, on the environment, you name it. But they are spending on rich people, giving them huge tax breaks. That's okay. But everybody else, everybody who doesn't have as much money? No, they can find another way. The EPA proposal must go through a lengthy review process, including public comment. That's you out there. Before it is finalized, likely next year, unless it's not. And this is where, you know, all of us. Marjorie, if you're still listening, this is another issue that is not a Democrat-Republican thing. It's being able to breathe clean air. It's being able to, you know, appreciate the beauty around us. And that doesn't come from a power plant. It doesn't come from a smoke-belching vehicle.
Hold up. It's also reducing extreme weather, like the incredible heat. It's mm-hmm.
I'm sweating my ass off as I'm saying this. Yes,
the monsoons, the flooding, like the severity of the impacts on our food supply, like crops, and the way a multitude of different ecosystems function is disrupted by this. It's not just so we can look at a beautiful mountainside or something and admire a meadow. It's the fact that the natural world is itself sustaining all of us in the industrial urban environment.
It doesn't have to do that. You know, at some point nature is going to get pissed off and boot us all out into space.
Well, yeah, I mean, we can't really function very well without it. That's where our water, our air, the carbon sinks that are our boreal and other forests. You know, you need trees. You need the natural space for living, not mm-hmm. just the aesthetic appeal. So it's a multitude of things.
I gotta say, you know, I'm very disappointed in the local area here for one thing in particular. First of all, for making Lee Zeldin somebody in this position of power. By voting him in multiple times and having him be recognized by Trump as somebody who actually is competent, look where he is now. Look what he's doing now. We did that. And it's not just Suffolk County. It's the whole country. And in fact, the whole world will be affected by what Lee Zeldin is doing. And that is something that we started here in Suffolk County. We also, in 2022, we were the ones responsible for turning Congress Republican, for turning the House of Representatives Republican. Those extra votes that got LaLota elected to replace Zeldin. We did that too. So all the Republican agendas that are being granted now, that's on Suffolk County.
Yeah.
And I we are so much better than that. I've seen us be better than that, you know? We have to fix this.
I am disappointed in Suffolk County for instituting all these policies. I'm sure that's, you know, it's someone's dream out there.
It's our fault.
But it is, it's pathetic. And I was just thinking fisheries. That was a whole other thing that I know when he got the position and when he was running, he was talking about waterways. Zeldin was when he ran for local politics.
Is he against them?
Well, he was talking about revitalizing and water, you know, whatever. Just basically remediation and, you know, the ecology. And that was like something that came up in the debates, and he was able to speak to it. But now with greater power, what is he actually doing for that? You know, those small wins or those small token projects that he was talking about are going to be affected by much larger policy moves that he's now making. So much for that, you know, so much for those efforts. And you got to wonder, like, at what point, like, when you can't fish in your favorite spot or, you know, I don't know. There's algae blooms or something that are disrupting your coasts or some other calamity. Who takes responsibility? They won't. They'll take credit for political wins and for mm-hmm. politicizing the natural world, but we all live in it.
Right.
And we all want beach access. We all want, like you said, to be able to breathe and drink water. And
yeah, they take credit for things that they didn't do. Like, you know, the infrastructure bill, they, you know, Republicans voted against it, but then they took credit in their local neighborhoods when they started to see the benefits of it, even though they voted against it. Nick LaLota is has been lying left and right about this salt cap that he claims credit for restoring. There was a $10,000 cap put on it during Trump's first term in office. That was brought back to 40,000, only for a temporary period of time, only for about, what, 3 or 4 years? You know, just enough time for LaLota to serve his time and get out. And then it goes back to 10,000, which basically goes against everything he promised, that he was going to hold out until the salt cap was restored to at least where it was before, but certainly not 10,000. So this is something where people in Suffolk County are paying more they can't deduct as much as they used to deduct for taxes, for property taxes. And it's hurting a lot of people. And this guy is going around claiming credit for somehow helping when he actually just ensured that it's going to get worse. Won't get worse during his time. It'll get worse as soon as he leaves. Typical political thing to do. I'm just realizing, though, as I'm almost about to pass out in this extreme heat that we're having right now, probably a result of all this, how much evil has been unleashed into our country, or just plain incompetence. You know, people like Stephen Miller or Robert F. Kennedy, you pick the worst people to run something and you put them in charge and see what happens. Sure, it's fascinating, but it is so destructive and horrible. There was sentencing that took place for a Louisville police officer. Remember the 2020 killing of Breonna Taylor, a completely innocent person killed in her own apartment by a cop who didn't know what he was doing and clearly was convicted. He faced a maximum sentence of life in prison, you know, actual justice for doing something against somebody that was obviously not given the benefit of the doubt or treated like a human being, just executed in their own damn apartment. Now, the whole country was outraged by this. And the Trump administration, or the Justice Department under the Trump administration, which has been completely compromised by him in ways that he accused Joe Biden of doing, but the evidence is so much clearer now that it's being run by him. They said, you know what? We're the ones prosecuting this cop. Give him a day in prison. Then let him go. Now, if you're the family of Breonna Taylor, what does that say? What kind of message is the Trump administration sending to your family that the life of Breonna Taylor is worth nothing? And this guy is going to be treated like a hero, basically pardoned, you know, one day in prison. That's all you get. Go live your life. Well, sometimes justice prevails. In this case, a little bit of justice prevailed because the judge refused to do that and sentenced him to 3 years in prison. Yeah, that never happens. That never happens where the Justice Department recommends something and the judge says, no, I'm going to give the defendant a lot more than that. I even saw members of the family thanking the judge, realizing that her hands were tied and they got something out of it. They could have gotten nothing, but they got something. So that was incredible. And the restraint people showed after this outrageous display of injustice. You know, I don't want to hear about riots and looting and all this nonsense from people who don't follow any of this. I want to hear about the tremendous restraint all of us are showing with the crap that's going on a daily basis. And yet we're not burning the place down. We're going to court. We're fighting in every way we can. We're going to the streets. And we're going to continue doing that, and we will win. It might take some time, but we're going to win. All right, today in ICE news, let's see what we got here. This is live from my phone. Okay, actions today on Morton Street in Brentwood, New York. Agents were seen making a house visit. Madison Avenue in Brentwood, where agents were seen knocking on doors. And down in Conklin Avenue in East Patchogue, agents were seen adjacent to the Long Island Railroad area. Huntington, agents were seen exiting the local firehouse. Okay, that's something I want to know more about. What were they doing in the firehouse in Huntington? You know, we talked about them being in, I believe it was the Islip firehouse a couple weeks ago, and how that rubbed people the wrong way, that the firehouse was allowing them access to their property for practice or training or whatever.
I don't know if they were allowing. They were presuming that they could stage their equipment and persons from that lot, but it didn't sit well with the people that were actually working in the department itself.
It didn't, but it also rubbed some people the wrong way in the administration of the fire department when they were criticized for this. So,
okay,
it's bringing out the best in some people and the worst in others. And finally, a bill was introduced this month in the state Senate and Assembly that challenges the constitutionality of federal agents wearing masks and plain clothes in raids at supporters of a new statewide proposal that bans this sort of thing. say, have terrorized immigrants who entered the country illegally or are living here without legal permission, immigrants who are in the United States legally and broader communities in which they live. In fact, people who were born in this country as well. Supporters of the bill say the masked agents are violating the constitutional rights of the people to see their accusers by hiding the agents' identities in arrests. When agents of the federal government are operating like masked militias, we've crossed a dangerous line by turning immigration enforcement into a paramilitary secret police force that should shock the nation's collective consciousness. That's according to Senator Patricia Fahey, a Democrat of Albany, who sponsored the bill in the Senate. She said it echoes authoritarian regimes. Now, this bill would protect federal, state, and local law enforcement from wearing masks and disguises while interacting with the public in the performance of their duties, except for medical-grade masks, which, you know, obviously is different. So that is pretty much where that stands. That's an interesting term because in Nassau County, you know, the local fascist there who's running that county as a county executive has made it illegal for anyone to wear masks except for cops. You know, that's the kind of thing that we're faced with every day.
It's wild the way you're talking about how we're complying and mostly being restrained, because that itself actually contradicts the narrative that, oh, this everything's lawless, everything's, you know, we have to clamp down and police and do all these, like, you know, new novel tactics and throw out the book as far as protocol or due process. That restraint itself is, I think, an act of resistance, but it should take many forms, and people should not give up. They should understand they have rights, and that none of this is designed by the populace at large. That this is coming from a very small group of people who think they have, who with perceived power.
We're going to have to leave it there because we are out of time. I'm sorry, I didn't mention the fascist in Nassau County, Bruce Blakeman, of course, the Nassau County executive. Write to us, otw@2600.com. We'll see you next week.
Me llaman el desaparecido. Cuando llega ya se ha ido. Volando vengo, volando voy. Deprisa, deprisa, rumbo perdido. Cuando me buscan nunca estoy. Cuando me encuentran yo no soy el que está enfrente, porque ya me fui corriendo más allá. Me dicen el desaparecido, fantasma que nunca está. Me dicen el desagradecido, pero esa no es la verdad. Yo llevo en el cuerpo un dolor que no me deja respirar. Llevo en el cuerpo una condena que siempre me echa a caminar. Me dicen el desaparecido, que cuando llega ya se ha ido. Volando vengo, volando voy. Deprisa, deprisa, rumbo perdido. Me dicen el desaparecido, fantasma que nunca está. Me dicen el desagradecido, pero esa no es la verdad. Yo llevo en el cuerpo un motor que nunca deja de rolar. Llevo en el alma un camino destinado a nunca llegar. Cuando me buscan nunca estoy, cuando me encuentran yo no soy el que está enfrente, porque ya me fui corriendo más allá. Me dicen el desaparecido, cuando llega ya se ha ido. Volando vengo, volando voy, deprisa, deprisa, rumbo perdido, perdido en el siglo, perdido en el siglo. Siglo XX. ¿Cuándo llegaré? ¿Cuándo llegaré? ¿Cuándo llegaré? Rumbo al 21. ¿Cuándo llegaré? Me llaman el desaparecido. ¿Cuándo llegaré? Perdido en el siglo. ¿Cuándo llegaré? ¿Cuándo llegaré? Me llaman el desaparecido. ¿Cuándo llegaré? ¿Cuándo llegaré? dicen el desaparecido, fantasma que nunca está. Me dicen el desagradecido, esa no es la verdad. Yo llevo en el cuerpo un motor que nunca deja de rodar. Llevo en el alma un camino destinado al nunca llega. Me llaman el desaparecido, que cuando llega ya se ha ido. Volando vengo, volando voy. Deprisa, deprisa, rumbo perdido. ¿Cuándo llegaré? 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 ¿Cuándo llegaré?